This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It's a regurgitation in the studio Tuesday with Barry Laminack. It's Nick and I trying to hold our nose and our breath as the second burp under command has just regurgitated his Diet Coke in front of all of us, but yet I'm the guy that likes to
crap your pants. There is nothing worse than grilled nuggets burp from Chick-fil-A.
Well, you had Diet Coke mixed
in. It was
there.
Pretty awful. Which, speaking of, I'm a little disappointed.
Why?
Did you see the news out of San Antonio where they said that the San Antonio City Council voted 6-4 to not allow Chick-fil-A into the airport?
No.
They won't allow Chick-fil-A to open up a restaurant in the airport because they did some research into Chick-fil-A and found that in 2017, they donated like $1.8 million. That number might be a little off, 1.5, 1.8. And cash to different organizations that oppose LGBTQ initiatives. So I guess you could almost anti-gay and lesbian organizations. And so they said no, and now it's kind of reignited the whole, well, Chick-fil-A hates gays. That's the prevailing thought. And I think if you donate money to an organization that's opposed to it in an indirect way, you're supporting that organization and their beliefs. And I can't be down with that, but I am down with a delicious chicken sandwich, so I have a dilemma.
It's not stopping me. I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A whenever
you don't
I want.
Care.
Do not care.
What if they were donating money to, what are you passionate about?
The KKK.
I don't know what you're passionate about. Yeah. What if they were donating money to organizations that supported racist
white supremacy
that were racist organizations?
I wouldn't go, but at the same time, that business would not exist. It wouldn't exist. Unless they're super established already.
I mean, if you gave money that indirectly or directly supported, like they funneled money to these organizations, so it wasn't a direct, we wrote a check to David Duke. But if they supported an organization that David Duke was a part of, then it might be three levels down, but it's a way to funnel money into that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fair point. And I think there's a lot of corporations that we all shop at that have some shadiness in it. And what are you going to do? Just stop shopping? Like, there's been terrible, terrible news surrounding Best Buy, Target, Conn's appliances.
The NFL.
Shoot. I want to say three or four years ago, Best Buy had an issue with Geek Squad.
Oh, really?
Where a guy was, like, placing cameras in bathrooms of a lady's house. So after he did his installation of everything, like the TV and stuff, he installed his own little hide, like hidden camera.
That's creepy. But that's
Are you gonna stop shopping at Best Buy?
Well,
probably not.
So now, okay, but that's different. That would be like saying there's a cashier at the Chick-fil-A that hates the gays. Well, that's just one person. That's not systematic. That's not an organizational support of another organization that is out there, presenting legislation or other things that would be anti-gay and lesbian or anti-whatever. So yeah. It's more of an individual level. But I do understand what you're saying, and you're absolutely right. There are a lot of companies that donate to stuff that we may not agree with on a personal level, whatever your views are. If you're, if you're a staunch, right-wing Republican, but maybe you like something where they're anti-wall and you just don't realize it until you look into it or vice versa, do you stop going to that? Some people get irrational and say yes. But I think part of me, when I read that, thought, okay, I could do that. And I could not go to the Chick-fil-A by my house and spend umpteen amount of money every week that I do out of my pocket. But who's that? Is that really going to affect Chick-fil-A? Or is it going to affect all the people that have a job there? And if everybody boycotted that and that particular location closes down, who is it really hurting more? Are the founders or the CEOs of Chick-fil-A are they losing money? No, but all those people lost a job.
It's a great point because I went through it firsthand in our neighborhood, Nick, and you know that. When you think about that, it's the local businesses that suffer because indirectly then you suffer. Because in the case of when they shut down all the Randalls too, You know, you can start saying you boycotted Randall's for this or that or the other thing, but at the end of the day, the fact that all the Randall's closed down in the Houston area wasn't because people made a stand against something they did or didn't do. It was the fact that
H-E-B came out and blew them out of the water.
And Kroger and all these different stores that were all there. But the bigger penalty is, if there was a Randall's like me real close to me, I paid the ultimate price because it's closed up now. And now all the people that were my friends that were working at that store, you guys used to give me a hard time about. But now I'm trying to help them find jobs because I feel awful. And I'm the one that pays the price. And obviously they didn't do anything offensive. But in the case, to make the point you're making, Barry, really you think you're doing something that may or may not have some kind of a impact on the company. It's a blip on their radar screen.
It's a blip on their radar, and you know, are you going to go in and accuse everybody that works there of hating gays and lesbians? Because I promise you that's not the case. It's a very diverse crew at the woman by my house. Very diverse crew. And if I were being a generalist and stereotyping, I'd be like, oh yeah, there's probably gays and lesbians that work there. They probably don't come out and be like, hey, I'm gay. Can I work at Chick-fil-A? Like, that's not, they're not going to do that. But what are the odds that someone in there or somebody at a Chick-fil-A that works there is also gay or a lesbian? And it's just, it's one of those things where, man, I hate to mix politics into my chicken sandwich. And I know I have to be woke and I know I have to be conscious of those things. But at the same time, it's like I said, whose job is it really going to cost? Is the CEO going to get fired because one Chick-fil-A in spring shut down?
Is the food
going to
be different? Is the food going to taste different?
You can taste the hate.
I mean, that's the thing. The food's not going to taste different regardless.
That would be weird if that was their slogan. Chick-fil-A, taste the hate.
Yeah.
That would be
awkward. But let me give you a hypothetical, though. Let's say you've made the decision to not ever buy Chick-fil-A ever again because of that.
Okay.
And you're out on the road, maybe on a road trip for one of your comedic gigs, and you're pretty much out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
And the most convenient spot, the only spot, is a Chick-fil-A that's like 7 miles away. And the next spot after that is like 10. You're starving to death. You're not going to go to that Chick-fil-A?
Sorry, gay people.
So that's what I'm saying.
I'm going to the
Chick-fil-A. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I am too. So I have the utmost respect for gay people, and I don't want anything to do.
Nope. Totally agree.
But I cannot just stop eating. It's just too convenient.
Can I say this, though? Here's where I'm a hypocrite.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest. I'm being 100% honest. You guys know me. I've always been honest and transparent on this show. If Chick-fil-A, instead of funneling money to anti-LGBTQ communities, was funneling money to the KKK, I would not eat at that Chick-fil-A.
I would agree with that.
I would not go to that
Chick-fil-A. I would agree with that.
But I think I'm more invested, I mean, just because of the way I grew up and everything else, I'm more invested into anti-racist organizations and scenarios and stuff like that than I am sympathetic to the LGBTQ community, which is also a flaw. I mean, I should be more sympathetic. But I think that's why I say I think a lot of this has to do with individuals. In fact, I won't say his name because I don't want to put his business out there. But somebody tweeted us and said, hey, after my son came out to his mom and me, we decided that the long lines are, in fact, not worth it anymore. And I 100% support you on that and back you on that and agree with you on that. If somebody, I mean, if I found out one of my family members came out as gay, I would struggle with that. I'd be like, well, man, is this worth it to me? That's my family. And this company, either through directly or indirectly, seems like they don't like my family member because of their sexual orientation.
It's always been a faith-based company, man. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to hate somebody for not being for that. I'm okay with it. I think everybody should. But if that's how you were raised, if that's how you grew up, like, I mean, are you going to really it's a weird line. I know that. But at the same time,
it's on them too, because at the end of the day, you have to make a decision between what are your personal beliefs and what are your goals as a business.
And how hungry are you?
Yeah, well, but that some people, that's a choice too.
Yeah.
But one of the big things is, as a business, if I'm looking to make money, be profitable, and do everything that I can, then I can't let my personal beliefs and political beliefs get in the way of my business. And when you start doing that, that crossing of the line and that obliterating the line and crossing it over in your business – then if you suffer consequences, that's on you because you made a bad choice. You made a dumb choice.
Yeah.
Because we see it all the time. And with, I can't tell you how many people have said between Facebook and Twitter that they've lost so many friends because of political discussions and things like that. That's just the climate that we have right now. Yeah. We're more woke than most in the fact that we pay attention to these things because, I have family members that have come out. And I pay more attention to those kind of things because, you know what? They're great people. That's the main thing. Yeah. And so you can make your choices one way or another and what you want to do with your life and what your opinions are. But when you let them cross over into what you're trying to do for a business and you let them become public where people know what you're saying and what you're promoting or not or going against, and your business suffers because of it, you deserve that.
One more thought before, because I know we have to go to break. And I know Barry may have a point too, but Chick-fil-A has always been very consistent about their beliefs. And how many fast food restaurants do you know close on a Sunday? They are purposely foregoing millions and thousands of dollars at each location, millions of dollars over the country because of their belief. That's how much they believe in their approach, their system, their beliefs. So it's hard for me to sit there and go against them at that point. You know what I mean? Look, they could literally open up on Sundays on every single one of their locations and be way richer than they are right now. But they choose not to because of their beliefs.
How about just one? How about the one in the Mercedes-Benz Dome?
Right.
Because if you're playing on – the Falcons normally play on Sundays. Yeah. And you got Chick-fil-A's in that dome. And you aren't open on Sundays. And you stuck with it. So you're right. They've been very upfront and open about what their position is in terms of Sundays.
There's a ton of text, which I'm just not going to get to. I'm sure you all had great and wonderful and valid opinions about
I'm sure it's stirring everything.
Chick-fil-A.
It's making people
mad.
I'm sure.
There's dumb
it's
text.
It's just a discussion, guys.
There's people that want to just take it to another
there's
level.
There's idiots. Oh, you're throwing the word hate around pretty loosely. No, we're having a discussion. And if you can't be mature enough to figure that out, well, you know, flip the dial. But I did want to point out that NASCAR Johnny your friendly neighborhood beer salesman texted and said, I was listening to y'all go after each other's playlist. It was hilarious. But how has no one mentioned one of Houston's own hair bands, Twisted Sister? I didn't know they were Houston.
I didn't either.
And I
but
looked
check
it up,
my list, bitch.
I looked it up on the wikis. Doesn't mention anything about Houston other than that they played in Houston in 2008.
Johnny was in the basement. He knew what they were playing.
No, it wasn't Johnny. It was the friendly neighborhood beer salesman.
Well, he was giving them beer.
I like how you just switched it that fast. Right. Yeah, I don't see anything about Houston. I'm gonna need supporting documentation.
Fast cars, alcohol. Come on, we're talking about grunge and heavy metal bands. We got this.
Gotcha.
All right, we've got Conor McGregor news to get to as well, boys. Lots of it. Some regarding retirement. Some regarding more shenanigans and just bad stuff going on outside of the octagon. So we'll talk about all that and a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Knee deep in the final hour of the big show, it is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. If you missed any of the show, we recapped The Dirt, the Motley Crue biopic, which was fantastic. We had Kelvin Sampson on prior to him preparing for the Kentucky Wildcats this weekend in the Sweet 16. And, of course, we've interacted with the 90%.
Yeah. And first of all, let me just say this real quick. Eric, stop texting the show. I'm just going to block your number because you're flooding the inbox, bro. Calm down. Take a breath. Relax, okay? I'll tell you that first of all. Second of all, Eric specifically said, I'll trust Barry on this subject if he can name two places where they've donated to. Come on, Barry. Just two places that they donated to that's anti-LGBTQ. Okay, how about three places? Would that be good for you? How about the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the Paul Anderson Youth Home, and the Salvation Army? So there's three. Stop texting. I don't mind you giving your opinion, but bro, don't flood the inbox with 1,000 texts because you're angry, because you're big mad. Just send your opinion one time and let it marinate, bro. It's kind of crazy. Like, it's a lot. Like, you are flooding the inbox. Like, you're big mad over this. Go just have a chicken sandwich and chill out. Somebody said, I won't say who, but I know him. But they said, my best friend is gay. And the moment that he came out to me, I refused to eat Chick-fil-A. And then a couple of years later, I see him eating it and talking about it. And I was like, bro, what's up? He was like, oh, my God, girl, that place is too good to boycott. So so there is that side of it as well. I guess it's delicious. A couple more people said, I'm a lesbian, and I don't care if they threw a penis at me. I'm still eating that damn sandwich. Chick-fil-A is life. There's Eric's lashing out texts. We'll get past that one.
Thanks, yeah, Urch.
Tell that dumbass Twisted Sisters from New Jersey, not Houston. Now, first of all, you don't need to name call, although I do support and encourage listener-on-listener violence.
As long as you're not in the middle of it.
Yeah, but apparently, yeah, it has nothing to do with Houston. It's New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know where your friendly neighborhood beer salesman got. Are you thinking of ZZ Top, bro? Which they wouldn't be hair, they would be beard rock.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, rock. I didn't want to be the stupid guy to say that. I'm like, is he talking ZZ Top? And wouldn't be classified as a hair metal.
That's not hair metal. That's beard metal. That's a whole different thing.
Either that or he got bamboozled into running a whole lot of errands and doing a whole lot of things for someone he thought was Twisted Sister and Dee Snider.
It was probably a cover band.
It was a cover band. It was the guy that works at the Petco down the street. But on weekends, he makes a little extra coin looking like Dee Snider.
It was Twisted Stepsister, the cover band. Not the same, bro. You got hoodwinked for sure. Okay, now let's get to this Conor McGregor thing. Two points here. One, he's retiring.
And is he, though?
I would say yeah.
Now, the reason why I ask that is because he was on Jimmy Fallon last night, okay?
Uh-huh.
But they tape it during the day. And during the day, they did a segment with him at an Irish bar, and he was talking about prepping for his next fight.
Okay.
But then last night at 10 o'clock or 10:30, whenever he so desired to, whatever time it was when he decided to let the world know he was retiring, that's in part why people are like, so, bro, which one is it?
All I know is that he tweeted out 15 hours ago, hey guys, quick announcement. I've decided to retire from the sport formerly known as mixed martial art today. Now, that's the first part of that I question. What does he mean by the sport formerly known as mixed martial art? First of all, it's arts, not art.
Right.
But why is he saying that? Is he, like, he may be doing a play on words like, I retired from mixed martial arts, but I didn't retire from the UFC or whatever.
Or boxing or whatever it is.
Yeah. But he said, I wish all my colleagues well going forward in competition. I now join my former partners on this venture already in retirement. Proper pina coladas on me, fellas. So it sounds like he's got a whiskey company, right?
He's big in it.
Proper
too, yeah.
12.
Yep.
Yeah. And now it sounds like there's going to be a proper pina colada mix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fantastic, and I hope he's making a lot of money doing that. I tend to believe that he'll retire. That doesn't necessarily mean that it'll be forever. I think once he's not popular anymore in 6 months to a year, he's going to miss the fame. He's going to miss the notoriety.
Does he come back before or after Gronk?
That's a good question. Boy, that's a good prop bet.
Because to me, it's very similar in talking about guys retiring before they maxed out their careers. But have a lot of money, have a lot of side ventures going on, so they think that they've got a second career already lined up, and either they miss the sport or the things aren't going the way they planned, and they come back.
My whole deal is the chronological order of everything. I think that's very suspicious. But a part of it, the reason why I don't want to go off on Conor McGregor is because I don't know how the Irish police approach investigations like that. You can actually get charged and not go to jail, and then they conduct an investigation in Ireland, as it reads on ESPN.com.
We haven't got to that point yet. But, yeah, we fill people in on that part.
We haven't mentioned that.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned that part. We're just talking about retirement.
Yeah, well, basically, the tweet comes out about 24 hours before a report comes out by the New York Times that he is being accused of sexual assault from an incident that happened in December of last year. He actually was questioned in January of this year regarding that matter. And now, it's all of a sudden, 3 more months later, it's being brought up. He tweets out the retirement 24 hours before that report. I find that suspicious.
Right.
That's number one.
Yep.
Okay. Then look at who he's beat. Look how many times he's fought in the past. Since 2016, he's beat Eddie Alvarez and he's lost to Khabib. Since that last fight in October, he hadn't fought since November of 2016. The guy hasn't really proven anything. The reality is, I think he's a little afraid of competition. I think we really know that he's not that good. And the reality is, his personality is what helped him be so successful in this sport. Not necessarily. Is he a good fighter? Absolutely. How many times has he defended his belt? Jose Aldo and Nate Diaz would probably be the most two impressive names that I see in the past 7 or 10 fights that he's had. I just think he's already made his money. He can make his money outside the UFC. And even if it comes down that those charges that he gets punished for, he'll be fine and he doesn't need it.
Real quick, because I know this is in your wheelhouse for both you guys, but the other thing I would say is don't think for a second that that payoff from that Mayweather fight didn't make all of this a lot easier for him and go, you know what? I don't have to beat myself up anymore. Maybe I'm not as good as some of these guys and I can really take a beating and all that money means I'm going to be fine.
That's what I was going to say because I think you do bring up an interesting point, Nick, about, I mean, he's 2-2 in his last four and that dates back to 3 years ago. This month, March 2016, he lost to Nate Diaz. He's won two fights since then and then he lost to Khabib. So I think he realized, look, if I'm going to fight the best of the best and they have a ground game and I don't, I'm one-dimensional. I'm basically Ronda Rousey that was able to hang on a little longer than Ronda Rousey. And I think he's got the money. He's got the fame. He's got this business going now. And I could even see him eying wrestling. I could see him going the Ronda Rousey route.
And how ironic.
And I agree with you. He probably is a little bit scared of elite-level competition.
He tapped to a neck crank. Yeah. Dude, when I was a white belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu and I tapped to a neck crank, I got made fun of for an hour and a half, and I was a white belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Yeah. He's a UFC fighter, and he tapped to a neck crank.
Although if
a
if
neck crank.
Khabib is cranking on your neck, I imagine it hurts a little
bro,
bit.
But in the MMA world, that is embarrassing.
I get you.
Ironically, too, the two names that I've compared could both end up in WWE.
Gronk
yeah. And Conor McGregor could both end up in WWE.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. I think he's got his money. He's got his fame. He's got all these side ventures. He had the boxing. I could see him saying, I'm retiring from MMA, doing one more boxing match to get another big payday. The dude's already set. I wonder what his net worth is. Let me see.
And another possibility is maybe the investigation comes out and he doesn't get too hurt from it, and then he can come out of retirement. Maybe out of retirement is based on how he fares against
the
case.
He's still got to get out of the deal in Miami too, where he knocked the phone out of the person's hand and took it and did all that stuff. They ruled that as assault. So he's got a couple of things he's got to take care of. I guarantee his net worth isn't Janine Lindemuller.
No, it's not $50K.
Right.
It looks like $99 million.
He good. Yeah, he's good.
Dude, he's almost worth $100 million.
You wouldn't see me if I had $99 million. No. You wouldn't see my face.
You wouldn't see me if I had $9 million. I'd be like,
bye.
I'd be like, bleep the usual suspects. I'm out.
Yeah, let me go get up and train for 3.5 months, getting punched in the face, kicked in the leg, choked, like submitted every single day.
Under the scrutiny of the media and everything else.
And make
a
fraction of what he made in that Mayweather fight. Like a fraction.
Yep.
So, I mean, look.
Yeah, because I was going to say, the money he made in the Mayweather fight, and we had talked about this at one point, but how many fights in UFC would he had to fought to come close to that money?
A lot.
And with the beating that you're talking about, Nick. So, of course, he's going to be fine. But literally, I don't think we may not see the end of either one of them. I think the chances are greater that we don't see McGregor again. Because of the fact that it is such a physical sport. And Gronk's gotten beaten up. But I think that Gronk's going to find out, and the entertainment world, wherever he gets hired, is going to find out he ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
No.
And that he's really, really good at football. And we might see him again on the field.
It's crazy because you got to take it hand in hand, right? Like, if you're not in the NFL as the best tight end and one of the biggest stars, or you're not in MMA as one of the best fighters in the world and one of their biggest stars, what value will you hold in WWE? We already see that with Ronda. Now, I know she's doing some main event, but, like, I think a lot of the fans started to hate Ronda just genuinely. Like, and
she was a bad loser. Let's be honest. She was a bad loser.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I mean, maybe you can, your stardom holds up in the WWE outside of that, but this is what made you a star, especially in Gronk's case. If he's not going to wrestle and he just wants to go to Hollywood, good luck, because once you're not famous for football, you're probably not, he's not, like you said, he's not
quick.
He's
most
not Einstein.
Most famous Brian Bosworth movie. There you go.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Because that's where it's going to come down to.
Yeah, quick. What's a great way to get money cash back in your pocket?
Get Upside.
That's right, Joel. Get Upside. It's a free app you can download from iTunes and Google Play. You put that on your phone. You use this app. You get cash back in your pocket. That's the quick version of it. But check this out. I want you to get more cash back when you use Get Upside. So first thing I want you to do when you download it for free, it is totally free, is to put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, and Get Upside. It's a cool app, man. It saves you money and gets you cash back on the stuff you're already buying. Like gas. Like, you're probably going to fill up today on the way home, right? Like, you got to stop. A lot of us have to fill up. And I want you to get cash back. Don't leave money at the pump. Don't leave. If someone came up and offered you like $5, $3 while you're standing there pumping gas, you're going to put that in your pocket. So download GetUpside. Make sure you use the app when you fill up and get cash back in your pocket. It's that simple. These gas companies, these restaurants that are in GetUpside, they all want your business. That's why they're in the app. They offer you these deals, but you can only get these deals through GetUpside. And what kind of deals am I talking about? How about up to 25 cents a gallon and over 500 gas stations around the city, up to 25 cents a gallon cash back. And when you use promo code Barry, your first fill up could be even more than that, just depending on where you go. And you can get up to 35% cash back at over 100 restaurants around the city of Houston. And it's super easy to find these places. It's all done via search. You just say, this is where I'm at. Search this area. Show me the gas station. Show me the restaurants. Pick the one that offers you the biggest savings and then go get that cash back in your pocket. It's so easy, guys. If you're not using it, I don't know what's wrong with you, but listeners are out there telling me they've saved $80, $90, $200 cash back from the GetUpside app. Go download GetUpside. Put in promo code Barry for that extra savings. Get that cash back and thank me later. And guys, do not go anywhere. We'll be back in 60 seconds right here on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Boy, we are rolling through the big show today. Just a half hour to go before we turn it over to the Blitz. Having fun with y'all, for the most part. Want to remind you that tomorrow's our last in-studio show of the week. We're going to be hitting the Twin Peaks area Thursday, Friday. Baseball's back. Opening day is always a great thing. Got the big games coming up with the Sweet 16. No better place on the planet to watch all the sports going on than the Twin Peaks. And if you want to follow us, Thursday, Kirkwood and I tend with Charlie Polillo and us from 11 to 4. And you know that they've got made from scratch food, 29 degree draft beer, TVs all over the place. So Thursday, Twin Peaks, Kirkwood, I-10, 11 to 4. And then Friday, Twin Peaks, Shenandoah.
Yay.
In the hood of the Laminator.
I'm excited about that.
I bet you are. I'm not.
Well, I know. If you want, you can spend the night.
It's a journey. Yeah, I don't want to use the Nick's guest bedroom. Isn't that the Nick wing?
I mean, you guys, are you going to these with us?
Are you on this one?
I don't know. I think it might be the same dynamic where Aaron's. I don't know. I didn't look at the.
Last week it was Tyler.
Because remember, Barry said you could use a spare bedroom after you get hammered and bring a chick home and just do whatever you want.
No.
You can motley there crew the bedroom if you want.
Listen, there will be no sexing in the Laminack household.
And think about it,
including me.
Well, I asked about that like a year and a half ago when I first started two-stepping.
But Nick, you can use the bedroom, and then all you got to do is go to the vacuum little thing that he's got in the room, and whatever is on the floor, like...
I swear, if you were to put semen into my vacuum, it would be on.
What about...
How are you going to find out?
Because nothing would work.
You check the bag. Get your hand up in there and see what you find.
Gum it up like an old, gummed up like an old
two-cycle motor. Doc.
I'll just do it behind the windbreak, bro. It's all good.
Andrew Dice Clay, because you reached your hand up there and came down. Oh,
what'd you say?
Can I bang behind the windbreak?
Yes, you can do it outside. Absolutely.
You can sit in the tractor.
A bobcat comes out.
I hope a bobcat comes out and bites you on the nads.
But you said you can just scare those away, the nads. That's a blast from the past. Yeah, I haven't heard that term in forever.
You're welcome.
Beavis and
Butthead. If you want to change positions, you can sit on the tractor that's stuck in the mud.
Nope, it is totally freed. Real quick,
like
I just want to say, if your number ends in 7851, I appreciate you listening to the show. I appreciate you taking the time to text that novel. There is no way, one, I'm reading that, or two, which I'm sure you have wonderful opinions. I just don't care enough about your opinions to read all of that. If you wanted to send me a text like the tweet, like just one little sentence, and sum it up. I'll read it. I'm not saying I'll read it on air, but I'll certainly digest it. But that book, no way am I reading it.
Yeah, that is.
You are out of your mind. That's probably like the longest sentences. Text we've ever received.
We were talking about it. I'm like, this is a text.
I should just block them for sending that. And I'm sure they're a great person, whoever it is. That is just ridiculous, sir and or ma'am. No way.
I don't care how skinny your thumbs and fingers are, but you did that on your phone.
That's crazy. I hope you speech to text.
No question.
Brian said, yes, get ready for fireball shots again. You know what? Friday, I'm down. I'll Uber home. I'll get drunk. I don't care.
Oh,
is that
good.
Wait, is that the day I'm doing the appearance afterwards?
Oh, good.
What?
No.
Oh, me getting drunk on
that? I think it's Thursday you're doing.
Oh, yes. Daddy might get drunk on Friday. I'll just call Nora. Come get me.
Oh, good.
I'm going to throw up on Joe.
I wish it would have been a marathon. I wish you'd have been doing 6 hours that day so Fred would have had to deal with it.
I'm going
to
see. Let's see how drunk I can get by the end of the show. That
yeah,
sounds
listeners,
like fun
if you're
going
to be in Shenandoah at the Twin Peaks location, buy Barry shots all day.
No, please no.
All day.
I won't
shots.
Do it. I won't do them. I'm a professional. I have too much respect for myself.
You just need to give him two or three shots and he'll be fine.
And you guys in this show, are you calling? Is that a challenge,
and Diet Coke.
Sir?
Yeah, I would love to take a
shot. More than three shots? You don't think I could take four shots and do this show? In a 3 hour
period.
When
are we doing this? I'll do it with you.
In a 3 hour period.
Dude, I will do three
shots. You don't think I could do four fireball shots over 3 hours and still be functional
enough. This is a challenge.
To do this show.
This might be an opportunity for me to get you fired. Let's do this.
I think you can do it.
I'm just going to need
whoever's. I think you both could do it.
No, Nick
can't. I can definitely do it.
He practices every night.
Yeah. But he can't. I've seen him after a couple of shots. He can't.
I mean,
I may
in a span of 3 hours, I'll drink like sometimes... Three Crown and Cokes.
Did you hear what you just said? Yeah. In the span of 3 hours?
Yeah, and we're talking four shots instead of three. And I'm nowhere even near drunk.
Bro,
after...
do you know how long it takes for me to kill three or four shots? Do you have any idea?
I'm not saying I'm going to do all four in a row. I can spread it out over 3 hours.
You know how long
it would take me to kill?
No.
No. Bets off. Deals off.
No.
Spread four shots over 3 hours?
Four shots over 3 hours. There's
Pansy.
No way I'm going to be drunk.
Pansy.
You're like a 9-year-old right now trying to
Nick,
peer pressure me.
I'll tell you what.
I just want to get you drunk on the air.
I can tell you how fast I can spit
been there,
one at
done
you.
Done that already. Actually, we got drunk on a Sunday once, so.
No, I didn't know. I think over the course of 3 or 4 hours, you can absolutely.
Absolutely,
it.
I can do
yeah,
four
can
shots
absolutely
over 3 hours.
We can get the speed gun out and see how quickly I can spit one at you.
Yeah, we could do that too.
I've already been spat on a couple weeks ago. I don't need to get spat on again.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, so that's it. I'm caught up on text.
Do we want to get to...
Oh, Mandy said, Barry, you might be a little feistier than normal on four shots. Am I feisty? I don't think I'm feisty. Am I feisty?
Salty.
I don't think that's...
Brian wants you to have those four fireball shots on the text line.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah. That's gone very much in a bad
way. Let's just do that on a Friday.
It is Friday. We're talking about Friday in Shenandoah, where it's close to my house. And my wife
he's
would
not
come
be
get
there.
Me.
If he was there, no, it would make sense.
Oh, yeah. So let's do it on a different
She'd be
show.
Home by 6, so that just means I would hang out for 2 hours
I think
at
do it.
The Twin Peaks and make her come get me.
I think you'd do it here at the studio, then you got to stay here and trail, like, cuddle with
I
you.
I don't think your ideas are good.
Okay.
I don't think
I'm going to stop them, but I thought, you know, throw them out there.
I don't think I like your... There's no couch in here anymore. I don't think I like your ideas at all. I would
First
have to
of all,
sleep
even
in my
if there
car.
Was a couch in here, you, of all people, would not be sleeping on
No way. I would go sleep in the car. Absolutely.
You'd have facial herpes from that thing.
Yeah.
On your cheek.
Somebody texted and said, they're hating on my boy Barry. Not true suspects. I don't know who that is. I guess you guys.
We're not hating on you. I'm not hating
Nick
on
is not
you.
A true suspect, yo. Hating ass Nick. There he goes.
Yeah, because he wasn't a part of the show from the start.
Speaking of that, is that old hating ass Kevin on the phone?
No, it's not. It's a different Kevin.
Okay. I just want to make
That's
sure.
the first thing I asked.
Do y'all wanna, let's just get let's his get call. I brought it up.
Kevin wants to talk Rockets. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's up, guys? I hadn't called in a while. Barry is still a Rockets hater, so that's going to be a good question for you.
Okay, great. Bring it on.
Hey, last night I was listening to the Hall of Fame with Booker T, and he had an interesting take on the Rockets, and I want to see what you guys thought. His take was this year's team and last year's team are not a cohesive unit because James Harden is pretty selfish, so that's why they won't win a title. And he also said that the 94-95 Rockets were more of a cohesive unit, which is why they were able to win back-to-back titles. Now, before I hang up, I don't agree. And I've never known this year's team to have any fistfights or anything like that, as like Vernon Maxwell and Hakeem Olajuwon did. So I'll let you guys debate that out.
Appreciate it, Kevin.
First of all, Bernard Maxwell didn't have it with Akeem. Bernard Maxwell had it with Carl Herrera.
Kevin's going to jail.
I hope Kevin's getting pulled over for the simple fact that I hate when people call and go, debate that. I'm out. Okay, well, you're not the producer, so but we will address your question.
Paul going to call. He's going to say, you guys debate that. Talk about them Cowboys.
Best wide receiver in the slot that's white on the Cowboys. Go.
That's Paul. Definitely Paul.
I hate go guy on social
Twitter
media.
And Facebook.
Oh, I hate him.
Favorite cereal. Go.
Yeah. It's like, you go. Go bleep yourself. I'm not responding to your dumbass question just because you said go and think you're cool. How about I go unfollow you, not you, Joel? Right. Actually, you know what? If you don't follow me by the end of the show, I'm going to block you again.
Poop burger. 32 ounce pee. Talk.
Go.
Go.
Yeah, but to your point, no, I don't think James Harden is selfish. You don't have as many assists as he does and get his team involved. He had to be selfish because there was nobody to support him. But I, the last thing that I would say about James Harden is he's a selfish player.
Here's the thing, we even talked about it. He did what he had to do to get the team in the position that they're in.
Yes.
Now, in order to be successful in the playoffs, we talked about the fact that they got to get back to getting Chris Paul, Capella, and all those guys involved so that teams can't scheme for him and really make a game plan to stop him and him only and be successful. It was not Akeem Olajuwon and Vernon Maxwell. It was Carl Herrera. There's no discounting, no matter how you look at it, the camaraderie and the tightness of that 94-95 team. They came from the sixth seed, the lowest seed to ever do it. They had something special. That's not to say that the Rockets don't. And just because there's no fist fights doesn't mean that there is or there isn't chemistry. That's a whole other issue. But that team last year, when you win 65 games, you got to be pretty together.
Yeah.
And we've said, if not for Chris Paul's hamstring injury, I'm a firm believer they're not only getting to the finals, I think they win it all. So I'm not going to say that there's anything wrong with this year's team, last year's team. This year, the only thing I'll say is they've taken a lot of pieces from other places and on the fly had to get them involved, but I still think they've come together nicely.
In fact, I think that right now with new pieces that their chemistry is better than it was at the beginning of the season. With the pieces that they went into,
I would agree with that because too many of the veterans had too many questions about
who is this cat and what? And this guy, he's done because part of chemistry is doing your part, playing your role, and you even heard that come up as the thing. Like, well, yeah, everybody's playing their role now, and everybody knows what their role is. Yep. And Harden said that himself, which I think was his part of saying, "Look, if I'm giving you open shots and you can't knock them down, you're not living up to your part of the bargain in this offense and on this team, and that's going to affect you when your teammates aren't doing their job." So.
Is there any irony in the fact they broke the single game 3-point record with a three from Michael Carter Williams?
I remember.
Jeez. That's hilarious.
Hey, we got one segment to go to the show. Then we're going to turn it over to Aaron, Fred, AJ, The Blitz. They'll take you from 4 to 7. You don't have to do a darn thing. Just keep it right here. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling back the clock to try and look at when Barry was supposed to be back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects. Because you can hear him. We all can. He's down the hall. But Nick and I were here on time, ready to go for the final segment of the show.
That's like the third segment you've been late to.
Couldn't wait one more segment before you got your friend on.
I got caught up in talking to everybody in the bullpen about stuff and things.
Because this show isn't important.
I saw.
Yeah, the suspects just find like they're not as important as that,
I know you guys need me to carry this. I get it.
Okay.
See, you guys
started. I got something you can carry.
You set yourselves up for that. But I was in the hall and I saw Fred. Why is he dressed like a Peaky Blinder?
Is he?
What do you mean?
I didn't see him today.
He's got the whole derby hat on.
Oh, he's got the Bruce Arians hat on.
No, he looks like a Peaky. Google Peaky Blinders. That's a show you need to watch. I think it's on Netflix. Watch Peaky Blinders.
I've heard of it, but when you tell me to Google something, it normally doesn't end
no,
well.
No, it's not porn. But I think here's what I think it should happen, and hopefully no one's listening. But I think everyone
another station in the market. This is ESPN 97.5.
By no one, I mean Fred and AJ. I think everybody should call the Blitz today and talk with an English accent in honor of Fred being dressed like a Peaky Blinder.
He is right. Like a
if you successfully do this, I will. But they're not going to take the call.
But they do take calls. But everyone that calls the Blitz today has to call in an English accent.
And but don't say you're going
to
do that.
Don't say why. Be like, hello, top of the morning to you.
That was one of our best shows
James
ever.
James Harden, like, just do it. Just do it. Let's just see what happens. Just do it.
You remember that?
Peaky
that was
Blinders
one of our
style.
Best shows ever when the everybody accent, called yeah, in with accents.
That was really early
that
on,
that was a
too.
Lot of fun.
Little racist, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Somebody suggested one shot per half hour. So 4 hour show, 8 shots. Okay. Well, first of all, you obviously don't listen because it's a 3 hour show. And that would be what? 6 shots. And no, the bet is 4 over 3 hours. Over 3 hours. I can do that. I would be totally straight laced radio.
Can we do 2 in the first hour? And then 1 in the third and then 1 in the fourth? Can we do it that way?
You can do
yeah,
two
we'll
in the
do
front.
One in the fourth hour.
2 in the front.
I mean,
2
in the second and 3 in the third. That's what I meant.
Did you
two
text
the
that dumbass
2 in the first.
About the fourth hour?
2 in the first, 1 in the second, 1 in the third is what I meant.
That sounds like the shocker. 2 in the first, 1 in the second.
I was going to say, you can do 2 in the front, 1 in the rear if you want.
That sounds like
that
something
does sound
else.
Like the shocker.
Yeah, 2 in the first, 1 in the second.
Dang it.
The pee and the poo. Nope, not doing that.
Or the gambling bar, poker in the front.
You're not getting me into your... Look, I still eat Chick-fil-A. You're not getting me into your whole scene there, Nick. I don't think so.
You're not getting me into your whole...
In your whole scene, Joel.
Oh.
Your whole scene. You got to listen to the entire
it depends on how
sentence.
It's edited, because I think that could be used.
Somebody texted, Olajuwon did slap Vernon Maxwell. Is that true? I don't remember that.
Well,
did he?
I traveled. I was with that team every road trip, every time. I do not recall Olajuwon hitting VMAX.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean,
he slapped somebody.
Now, I know that in the weight room, it got really nasty between Carl Herrera and Vernon.
VMAX. Okay.
Yeah. And there were some moments, but that at that point, Dream was. I don't think Dream was as physical as he had been earlier in his career in terms of found religion and
I think it was Salisbury, but somebody had retweeted a tweet about the old school NBA video
of people
getting roughed up. And at one point they show Olajuwon just kind of reach out and just
Billy Pultz
punch somebody in
the face. Whopper. He hit the Whopper right in the face.
And I thought, wow, that's not the Olajuwon that we've grown to love and know, but I do remember him.
Yep.
That was Hakeem more than
with an A.
Hakeem.
Yeah.
Like that was Olajuwon early. That
the transition,
early, old
he was Hakeem from the time he got to U of H until, and then for a few early years until he got the H. And when he got the H, he kind of
mellowed out,
calmed down a little bit.
So that was, I thought that was interesting. And it was one of the first things in the video, which is him reaching out and touching old boy. So, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you think about it, too. Back in the day, that's why all these comparisons about the greatest of all time and everything like that, there's so many things that it's not worth the argument because of all the things you have to take into consideration. These days, you can't touch anybody. Those days, if you didn't get touched up every time, if you dunked on someone or got a layup, next time down, you were going to get touched up, and it wasn't going to feel good, and you were going to feel it for days.
Yeah.
There was hand checking. It was a physical
game.
Sport.
El Jefe said, hey, do y'all think Barry's wife will pick him up from Twin Peaks even though they're getting a divorce? Go. And he's blocked. He's blocked for the go, not because he's keeping the stupid divorce joke alive, but he's blocked for the go. Also, Brandon Whitehead said, Barry, what's the best way to put sod down in my yard? Let me finish.
I didn't say anything.
Till up the existing grass and weeds or kill what's there and put the new sod down. Go. And also blocked for the go. You send me go, you're blocked. I'm blocking. You correct my spelling, you're blocked. You send me go, you're blocked. Don't do it, Joel.
Thought about it, and I'm like, no, because then I'm going to get screen captures all night that I don't need.
Both of you a-holes are blocked. That's the worst. I mean, no. I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not go, it's talk about it. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
I'm an adult. I'll just delete your Facebook. No, thank you.
Facebook?
Yeah. You're not big on Facebook, are you? Are you more active on Facebook than Twitter?
No.
No, more active on Twitter.
Yeah.
You don't even mess with the gram, huh?
No, Facebook is basically, I have an account.
On Instagram?
For Instagram? Yeah, if it's still there.
Yeah.
But
you don't even use it.
No, a friend of mine set it up for me and I never use it. But Facebook, as I've always said, is just friends and family.
Okay.
That's it.
That's smart. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
I don't, like, I get a lot of friend requests. I just don't.
Now it's going to be interesting. So I did this video I told you guys about. Telling everybody how I firmly believe it shouldn't even be a race that Harden's the MVP.
Right.
And I clearly stated at the start of the video, and I'm from Milwaukee, and I'm a lifelong Bucks fan,
mm-hmm.
okay? I put all that out there. And you know what? because of a guy that quote unquote lives the dream every day, I've become a Bucks fan again. But at the same time, I'm going to put it on Facebook.
Okay.
A lot of my friends from back home are going to have a real issue and come at me now because of the fact that I was honest. That's the problem with a lot of sports fans today.
Right.
They can't accept honest. We see it on a daily basis. Have some dialogue. Go some back and forth. Make your points, your cases. Some days you're right. Not many. And some days I am. But we go back and forth. We talk about it rationally.
Right.
It doesn't matter what city you're in. These people are going to be irrational with me. All I got to do is say, look at the stats. Just look at the stats and tell me if I take your two best players off the Bucks, are you going to be a playoff team? No, you're not.
Agree.
So enjoy that game tonight and hold on hopes. You're number one seed in the East. That's great.
How much time we got left, Nick?
A couple minutes. Go.
Bastard. I'm only asking because, you know, you said you followed me back.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yes, I did.
Nope. Bro, I just pulled up your account. Right there, it would say follows you.
Why
it
do you
does
need
not
two
say follows
for
you.
This?
Just
I guarantee
you,
I went right back and followed you. I'm going to tell you something right now. If I bring it up and it says I'm following you, you can kiss my ass.
Well, no. I'm not doing that live on the air.
Well, there's another little challenge that we won't be doing. I can guarantee that. No matter how many shots either one of you have had.
No. No, Brandon, I'm not blocking you. I know you were just playing, but I'm also not answering any more lawn questions. I'm kind of out on the lawn advice thing. I mentioned that the other day. I'm done with that. So that's they won't let me talk about it on air. I'm not going to sit here and answer private lawn questions.
You know what? You play that up pretty good. We don't let you talk about it
y'all
on air.
Y'all hate me. You guys have just made it
whether we let you or not, you are doing it anyway.
No.
So
you force your lawn talk on us.
Honest.
I mean, I just give the people what they want.
Right there, Chief. Following.
Okay. He must have just clicked it. Yeah, though.
No, I just
look,
brought
I
it up.
I literally 3 seconds ago just got the thing.
You just clicked it.
I'm going to screenshot it. My computer says 3:55, and it says 3 seconds ago, Joel Blank follows
when
you.
When you're done with that. No, I swear to God, I did it in the middle of the show when you said I hadn't done it.
Then why did I just get the notice?
Because your computer sucks, and the internet here is bad. That's why. And
Joe,
by the way, Joe, Nick,
you don't know how technology
the same
timestamp
that's going to show up when it says I'm a friend is also going to be this timestamp in the middle of the show when he put his Wayback Wednesday list in.
3 seconds, bro. You're so busted. By the way, Andrew said, great show today. One of the best. Well, thank you, Andrew.
We appreciate that.
We appreciate your kind words. Remember, if you're going to call the Blitz today, English accent in honor of Fred dressed like Peaky Blinders. I need everybody to do that. Did they hear that? Am I on a speaker in there, Nick? Did they hear? Okay.
This is Aaron.
You shut your whole mouth, Aaron.
Aaron may or may not let his team know that you said this.
Oh, yeah, it's over now.
He may
and
snitch on
he,
you. We don't know
every
yet.
Time
we'll find
Fred,
out.
Oh, snitching ass Aaron.
Every time Fred uses the term dickweed when he gets annoyed with it, you drink.
Yes.
There you go.
Be drunk by the 5 o'clock.
All right.
Are you ready?
713.
By the way, he let me do the intro on Friday.
Yeah, you were nervous
totally
about it.
Bombed it.
I heard it. Yeah, it sucked.
It was awful.
It was bad.
I choked.
No.
No, don't.
All right. Go. All right, we're going to be doing the same thing in the studio tomorrow and then taking it on the road for the rest of the week with Twin Peaks. But we will talk to you on a way back Wednesday. For Barry and Nick, I'm Joel. You guys have yourself a great evening and enjoy the Blitz next right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5. Houston.